they just go. All right, well, good evening, everyone. It's good to see everybody this evening. What a pleasure it is to be with my brothers and sisters in Christ to study another portion of God's Word. As you know, we are studying from a book called The Responsibility of the Christian. And I think Brother Sonny covered the Christian's responsibility, the job. And it was a great study. He did a wonderful job, as always. Today, though, we'll be talking about the Christian's responsibility towards material possessions. And if you have your Bibles with you or electronic devices, I would love for you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. We'll be looking at verses 19 through 33. Well, 19 through 21 and 24 through 33. That's Matthew chapter 6. So it reads, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Then it goes on and says, "As no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. For they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? O you of little faith, therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." The fundamental battle in any man's life comes when the attractions of this world are pitted against the attractions of the world to come. And this is heaven that I'm talking about. And there is a terrible battle that is going on between Christ and Satan, between truth and error, between light and darkness. And I want you to understand that the battlefield is not some distant plain or some grassy hillside. It is not the battlefield in which we are fighting. The battlefield is in the hearts of men, your heart and your mind. And in speaking of this, if that is what the battle is for, what is the prize? What is the prize? You. You are the prize. It is you that Satan is trying in every way possible to allure you away from your heavenly Father through your thoughts, right? And to center your attention, to center your desires to this world, hoping that everything that you can obtain, everything that you need, everything that you desire comes from this world. And over again, Christ and the apostles warned against the folly of such a choice. And this world is going to be destroyed, and our time here is but a fleeting moment. And it is nothing when compared to eternity. So we're going to look at Matthew, and we're going to look at a few things, and we're just going to talk about the importance of our responsibility to material possessions and how we come about that. So in Matthew chapter 6, and looking at verses 19 through 20, it says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on this earth, where moss and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven." Do you think that Matthew chapter 6, 19 and 20 is saying one must take on the vow of poverty and renounce all earthly possessions? Not all y'all talk at one time.
Sundays, like, why? You can just go next Sunday.
Yeah.
Why not make this double time today? So it's about where your heart is focused on. Are you focused on the things of God? Are you continually trying to focus on things that are eternal, which is difficult in today's day and age because we live in a carnal, physical world?
Absolutely. And so that's what you were going to say? So you're shaking your head like, no. So you agree? Anyone else want to add any thoughts to that?
Ruth?
Well, I would say, go ahead, Brother Claude, sorry.
Kind of piggybacking on a couple of things that were said already, there's, you know, scripture in the Bible that says the love of money is the root of all evil, not money.
Right.
God gave us that out there. He gave us the blessings that we should work hard for and we should earn to take care of ourselves and our family. But it's, if you put that first, like it's been said, now you got the wrong idea.
Yeah. I would say that it is not telling us to take a vow of poverty if that's the hand that you've been dealt, which we don't always get a choice in that. Everybody doesn't get dealt the same hand. Everybody wasn't born into riches. Everybody wasn't born to mansions and trust funds. But what you said is where your heart is. Are you seeking after those things? Do you renounce all your earthly possessions? I don't think so, because there are plenty of examples of individuals who were followers. Barnabas had money. And it didn't mean that Barnabas was any less of a follower of Christ because he had money. The rich young ruler, you know, he had money. There were plenty of people who had money. But again, like you said, it's where the heart is. So I don't want us to take this position, because people like to take things and twist it. I don't believe... based on the scripture and the text that is telling you to take a vow properly. But if you are in a position of where you don't have all these things, then your focus shouldn't be, I got to get all these things.
So begs the question, what was Judas among the 12, and when Jesus was walking around the earth for the 3 years while he was preaching, what job did Judas have?
Treasure.
The treasure. So Jesus had money. His apostles had money. They were using it for their funds, whatever they incurred during the day. So if it's okay for them to use money, then it's like the rest of your
mind. Absolutely.
That's not where Jesus' heart was at. It was about people.
Right. So again, we're agreeing. I think we're saying the same thing, but I just don't want people to believe that we're saying that you ain't got to work. You got to, you know, I don't do anything. I'm going to be just a hobo and I'm not going to do anything. That's not what this is saying. Yeah, and here's one thing that I do know. I think that, I believe that the gospel is free, but ministry costs. The gospel is free, but ministry costs. And so my point is that there's nothing wrong with having the ability to have funds to do the things that you need to do. So, for example, with the ministry costing, meaning that it costs to keep the lights on, it costs for us to have books, it costs for us to have material, it costs for us to have a website, it costs for us to have tracks, it costs, right? So there's nothing inherently wrong with having money, but again, it's where the heart is. So going on, in Matthew chapter 19, draws the contrast between the importance of earthly treasures and heavenly treasures. It says, for you, do not lay up treasures. Don't lay up for yourself treasures on earth. What is the significance of yourselves? Yes. Absolutely. Yourselves. But then it also says, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. So here's what I see. I see don't lay up treasures for yourself on earth. Selfishness is what you're talking about. But then you say, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. That's the selflessness in which comes with laying up treasures for yourself. Right? And how do you get there? How do we get there? What does that look like if you're talking about laying up treasures for yourself in heaven? How does that look for us? Yes. Yes, absolutely. We serve. There are two things that I know if we're truly about laying up treasures in heaven. And it's two words. Love and service. Love and service, right? Love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and love their neighbor. And in order to do so, you have to have that mindset, right? Serve God with all of your heart, with all your mind, all your soul, as well as you serve others. So with both of those things intertwined into two, that's how you lay up treasures for yourself in heaven, because you're not looking for yourself. Me as a man, right? And as a husband, as a father, it is my duty to take care of my family. It's not my duty just to make sure that I'm okay. It is my duty to make sure that my children are fed, that they're clothed, that they have a roof over their head, to have the essential things to focus. That's not about me. That's about them. And so in the same way, I believe that when we're laying up treasures for ourselves in heaven, we have to love our neighbor enough to be willing to serve them in a selfless mindset that has nothing to do with us. With love for certain people and service for certain people, they want something in return. And so when I think about loving somebody and serving somebody, you know, even with our children, I love you and I took care of you. So in return, this is what I expect from you. But I think if we have the mindset of loving people without expecting anything in return, it'll be a different type of love. It's kind of like when people come to you and family members ask you to borrow money. And they say, man, let me borrow some money. I'm going to pay you back. I never lend out money that I expect to get back. I don't. Because I don't expect to get it back. That way I won't be upset. I won't be hurt. I won't be mad about it. I have it to give, so as the love out of my heart, I'm selfishly giving this to you. Because if I didn't have it to give, I wouldn't give it. So because I have it to give, I'm going to give it out of love. And that's the way we ought to be. So when loving God and serving God, we cannot love the things of this world so much so that it trumps our relationship, how we treat others, how we serve in God's kingdom. Because it's all about these possessions. And it's our responsibility to focus on the things that are above. And that's how we do that. Did you have some, brother? Okay. Anybody? All right. So goes on. We're going to drop down. It says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So I was looking at this when it talked about serving God and mammon. I looked up mammon. The true idea of serving mammon was it was a negative connotation. All right. It came with the connotation of gluttony and greed. All right. So it was originally a pagan god. So it was like an idol in which the Chaldean and the Syrians, they worshiped. So the word can be conveyed mammon into materialism. So when we read it, it could say, despise the other. You cannot serve God and materialism. You cannot serve God and have this idea that you want more. You are greedy. You lust for more things. So you can't serve God and want more of these things. And so when I thought about that, I was like, wow. Because at first I just like, mammon. And then when I looked at it, you can't serve God and be in love with this ideal of riches. This idea of materialism. And a lot of times we get that. We get that in our mind, right? You remember over in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10, right? 2 Timothy chapter 4, what happened to Demas? Somebody read what it says. 4, verse 10.
Demas, having loved his present world, had deserted me and gone to Thessalonica.
So that means he was with him, he was following him, but because he loved this present world more, he left. There are more people leaving God because they love this present world more. What they believe that they can get out of it. And that's the lust and the greed that they have to want more. There's only so much you can have. There's only so many cars you can drive. You can only drive one at a time. You can only live in one house at a time. You can only sleep in one bed at a time. You can only put on one outfit and a pair of shoes at a time. And there are people who just want more and more and more. Right? 1 John 2:15, do not love the world or the things in this world. If anyone loves the world, then the love of the Father isn't in him. And this bill, yeah, absolutely. No. Yes. Yes, you can. You can appear to walk the walk. You can appear to talk the talk and love this world. Absolutely. You can sit right here and be as clean and be as yes, ma'am, and amen, and answer all the questions. And in the back of your mind, you can't wait to leave here to figure out ways to make more money. Been who?
Like you're being pulled in by the devil. How do you know when that occurred? It never starts off all of a sudden, oh yeah, I left the church. Or all of a sudden, I owe money. How do you know when the little moments come in your life that you're being pulled away? So you can pull yourself back, you know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
How do
That's a wonderful question. And, you know, I was going back and forth about what I was going to ask you guys, because I didn't want to go into scenarios, because when you start asking people scenarios, a lot of things are case by case, right? We can go case by case. This person does this. This person works. You know, we start talking about, like, for example, John has a job as a fireman, right? But he has to work every other Sunday, okay? And he's compelled to miss the assembly on those days. He could get another job, but it will pay less. And it wouldn't allow him, if it does get this other job, he will make less money, but he'll be able to be here on each Lord's Day. But he likes being a fireman. He's been a fireman his whole life. But if he takes this new job, then it's going to put a strain on him and his family. He can't save for, for weekly savings. He can't put aside for his kids to go to college. He up to dead in his eyeballs, so he can't pay stuff off and it'll just accumulate, right? Should he take the other job? Should he take the other job? What do you think? God would bless him if he goes towards the Lord. But how many people say, I'm only missing every other Sunday? The point I'm making is the way that you know that you are being wielded and you are losing is based on your conviction. Here's how I know this to be true. Did you all know? I know you probably know this. Football people, sports people. Did you know BYU is a Mormon school? Who all knew that? Do you know that they do not play on Saturdays? The basketball. On Sundays. So the reason why I'm saying this is because if they were in a tournament, it may fall on a Sunday depending on where they're seated. And as a fact, they would tell them and work with them. The NCAA would work with them to say, well, we either going to have to be moved to another seed, down a seed, so we cannot have to play on Sunday. And they would work with them to do that type of thing. But when it comes to us as Christians, believers who have the truth, we are willing to play chicken with our faith. When it comes to individuals getting jobs, because it's always asked, it always comes up. Am I really doing wrong if I work a Sunday or two or three? Let me ask you this. If there was a Muslim that worked at your company and they prayed at 12 and they said, we're going to have a meeting at 12, they would go to them and say, I cannot do this because I'm praying at 12. We can do it at 11. We can do it at 1. But Muhammad prays at 12. I'm praying at 12. And guess what? They're going to respect that. Why? Because of their conviction. And the biggest problem that we have is that we don't have that type of conviction like we should, like everybody else. Trust me, they're respected. It was a kid that played on our team. We went to the national scene. He was a 7-day Adventist. And the game was on Saturday. And guess what they did? Because he was their star quarterback. They had to have him. They rearranged the whole thing to make sure they forfeit, and then they end up going back and saying, well, we can play at a later time so that he could go to church. And we have no conviction when it comes to a job. Job tell you, hey, you come in and take this job, but you got to work on Sundays. And we'd be like, I got to have some off. Not, I can't work no Sundays. None whatsoever. And you put it in writing on the application. I can't do any Sundays. Well, here's what we do. We end up working the first 2 months on a Sunday. I want you to think about this. Work the first 2 months on every Sunday because you're thinking, well, if I get in there first, I get my foot in the door because I need a job. I got to have something, right? I got to have a job. Get my foot in the door. I can eventually talk them down because I got my foot in the door and not work on Sundays. That's usually the mindset of most people because they need the money. They need to have a job. But what ends up happening? Because if it was me and I was your boss And you came to me 2 months after, and I said, well, you got to work on this Sunday. And you say, I can't work on Sundays no more. I say, why? Because I'm a Christian, and I go to church on Sundays. I'm a believer. We worship on the first day of the week. And I said, well, you just became a Christian because the last 2 months you was going every Sunday. Right? And that's what happens. There's no conviction there. So to answer your question, that's how you know. When you are convicted, you will find a way. Just like my sister said. Right? So here's the key. Because we can go on and I can give you more scenarios, right, of all of this. But here's the key. Right? It says don't worry, right, about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, right, what's going to happen. So don't worry is the equivalent of being filled with anxiety. I think there's a difference between being concerned and worried. I do. I'm concerned about my children. Do I worry that the God that I pray to protect him is not going to do what he says he's going to do? That produces anxiety. Because now I'm like, well, if you don't believe God was going to take care of it, who are you going to believe? So when all of that comes about, it's telling us not to, right? So let me ask you a question. So here's where it becomes tricky. Is it sinful for a man not to provide for his family? Where we get that from? Well, my scholars in here, somebody. Yep. Yep. What about 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8? Somebody read that one for me. So you worse than an unbeliever if you don't provide for your family. You worse than an unbeliever if you don't provide for your family. But let me ask you this. That is absolutely, unequivocally the Bible truth. That is the infallible word of God. But where does it say that you got to work on Sunday? Somebody tell me. Because somebody be quick to say, well, if I don't work, see, if man don't work, he don't eat. If a man don't provide for his family, he is an unbeliever. But so I got to do something. Yeah, but you can be convicted and tell them people that I ain't working on Sunday. I ask you this question. What would you tell me if I said, Brother Ron, man, I got this job. I know I'm a new Christian, man, and I've been coming here faithfully, but this new job is gonna have me to work on some Sundays, man. And I'm probably gonna maybe make it to church maybe twice a month, maybe other than that, I'm not sure. But I really need this job, man, and I ain't really got no money. I've been looking. I mean, there's some other opportunities, but they ain't really paying that much. But what do you think? As believers, what would you tell that person? I'll give you that answer, but I don't want you to lose your thought.
I was just going to say there's also a difference between choosing a job that you intend to stay at long term versus I don't have a job. I've got to have something. So I'm going to take this job that may require me to work some Sundays, but I'm actively looking for something that will not have me work on Sundays.
Yes. I understand that. I understand that. My answer to that question, and honestly, I know, look at me, all right? I know it's easier said than done. But what it does say in verses 33 and 34, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Here's the key. When he says all these things, I need for us to truly understand this. Because in most people's minds, all these things is a Mercedes, not transportation. All these things is a steak dinner and not having a meal in order to sustain me so I can stay alive. All these things is not a roof over my head, but a mansion. When he talked about all these things, he was talking about the essential things: food, water, shelter, your ability to stay alive. I'm going to take care of these things to make sure that you are okay. But again, it gets back to your conviction. So is there not an employee out here who would respect your convictions because they respect others' convictions? So I get it when you go in there, it's like, yeah, man, they're going, well, that ain't the job. And if you trust, like you said, and I'm seeking ye first the kingdom of God, all the things that I need will be provided for me. Now, granted, there are some people, all right, that were not in the church who has professions. So you might have already been a fireman. You always might have a crazy schedule. Well, you're a civil servant. You're in a profession versus working at Kroger. You're in a profession versus I work at a job and I'm only going there to get overtime so I can make extra money. I am willfully, because it says forsaking the assembly. The word forsake means to willfully make the choice not to come. But if you're in a profession, you're a doctor, you're a surgeon, I get it, you need it. There's sick people all the time. You're a fireman. So I always ask this question. Here's a scenario. I'm going to get to your questions. Here's a scenario. If a person is a fireman and the fire station is closed on Sunday and they sit in here, but they get a call that something's on fire, would they be sending to go do what they are serving to do? Right? Would they be sending? So again, there's a difference between occupation and job and profession and because I want money. Again, it goes back to what Johnny says, the condition of the heart, your reasoning behind it. Then it brings up the question about military. Well, I get it. They're traveling, but I know for a fact that there are ways and opportunities for you to keep that. I know it's difficult. Go ahead, Brother Clark. I won't.
You're talking as a person who works, his job is on Sunday.
No, I'm talking as a
But you're going to be on Sunday. It's expected of you to be on Sunday to do your job. I look around and I see a lot of people that aren't here tonight that were here making the argument on Sunday that, oh, you got to be here. You know, you got to watch out for your job. I think we need to be real careful that I don't know what Johnny's thinking. I don't know what's in his heart or what's in his job.
Right.
I just feel like it's, don't take offense.
I'm not.
I feel like it's a little easier for you to stand up there and say, well, you need to be here on Sunday,
mm-hmm.
regardless, and that's your job.
Right. Let me let you in on a little secret. I wasn't always a preacher. And I had to.
You're always a Christian, right?
No, I'm not. I'm saying I wasn't always a preacher. I grew up in the church. But I still had to make the decision based on even where I move. When I take vacations, everything aligns when I'm making these decisions about what's more important, that I'm trying to make sure that there's a church wherever I'm going on the way. If we're going out of town, that I can go to and worship. So when I'm talking about conviction, I'm really meaning it. I ain't saying it because I'm a preacher and I'm standing up here. I wasn't always behind this pulpit, and I had to make some hard choices and saying, well, do I want to make more money or do I trust the God of heaven who says, seek me first and I will take care of your every need? And that's where the rubber meets the road for us. We got to stop playing chicken with our faith. I mean, I know I need this, so I gotta do something. You don't understand. No, I understand. You got to eat. But the person that's going to provide you the job, just think about it. If you turn down this job and trust in God, you don't think he'll provide you with another one? And maybe not only that, you get more money. Not on top of that you ain't got to work on no Sundays. But we have to be willing to trust that. But Sister Ross, but I get what you're saying. Just that's why I told my sister, I get it. It's easier said than done. But you got to come to a place of what's more important. Right? What's more important? Me getting this job? Sure, I'm sure there are some jobs out there that you can get that if we're convicted and we're willing to stay convicted, they're going to do it. How about this? I can't work on Sundays, but I can work between 1 and 5. See what I'm saying? So there are ways. I can work 1 to 5 because I'm out of church by 1 and I got to be back by 6. So I can work on a Sunday, but these are the hours I'm available. So I'm not telling you that I'm not. I'm not being, you know, insubordinate, but these are my convictions. So if you want me to work and you insisting that I do, here are the hours that I can give you. That's what conviction looks like. We're going to find a way. We're going to work around it. Go ahead, Sister Ross. Absolutely.
And growth in that area. I mean, working for Kroger, you may not have that maturity level knowing that, oh, I gotta be on church on Sunday morning because you gotta feed your family.
So right.
Maturity level and growth level.
Absolutely.
There
yes, that's absolutely. Right. That's absolutely important. I mean, that's even in the sense of people who are in a profession. If you're more a seasoned Christian, you may can miss a Sunday and it not affect you. But if you're not, it may affect you in such a way that it pulls you 10 steps back. Right. If you're a mature Christian, you eat meat. So, hey, I'm OK. But for somebody else that needs to be there. So, again, there are case by case scenarios. We can come up with all types of scenarios. But the key is in the text. I would only take a person to what the scripture says versus my opinion. Because if I tell a person not to seek ye first and be like, yeah, go ahead and take that job. But then they go ahead and seek ye first and then a blessing comes. Who going to get the glory? And then if it don't work out or somebody say something, the first thing they're going to say, well, Brother Chris told me, because who they going to listen to? They came to me for the advice. Well, Brother Chris said, no, the word of God says. And that way you put your trust in that. So whatever the situation is, I didn't do it. God did it. That take all the responsibility, all that off of me. God did that. So if it's whatever job you get, whether you think it's the best or it's just on time, it's right, it won't have nothing to do with me. It'll have everything to do with God. And you'll look at your circumstances a whole lot differently when it comes from God and what his word says versus my opinion and what I think. And so I just think the key is the love, the servitude, and remembering to seek ye first the kingdom of God. And there's so much stuff that I want to get, especially when we're talking about seeking ye first, right? Because I wanted to ask you guys, if y'all could make a wish, right? Any wish you want to make. I think it's confident to say that most Americans and even Christians would say, I desire to have more money, have a happy marriage, obedient, well-adjusted children, yeah, good health, the lightening of all troubles, the absence of pain, long life, and endless happiness. Huh? No, that's all encompassing in their wish. Yeah. but I think the most serious thing though is above all, what is it that God desires? I think if we stop asking what we want and what God desires, I think it'll take our focus on something totally different. It'll take us down a whole nother path when we look at, well, what does God desire versus what I want? And I think if we stay in that lane and we try to keep our focus on that as we go through these things and we work through, and again, they're case by case things, right? But I do know this. It says, seek ye first the kingdom, right? Right? So you're seeking after the king and not seeking after the things. And so if we seek after the king and not the things, I think we'll be a whole lot better as we navigate through those ups and downs and those different scenarios that we go through in life where we have to make that choice of what's more important, making more money or being faithful to our God in heaven. So I appreciate your comments. I thank you all so much for listening, and y'all be blessed the rest of this week, and I look forward to worshiping with you all, Lord willing, on Sunday.